Today's Shir Masechta Be'Yadaf Lamed. We will begin on Daf Chof Tesam Be'ez at the bottom of the Amid at the Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Mevi Kadayayin Mimakim Lamakim. If somebody is transporting barrels of wine from one place to another place on Yontif, both places are within the Tchum. Still teaches us the Mishnah that Lo Yiviyim, he should be careful not to carry them the way it's done in a normal fashion during the week, besal b'kupa, in a basket or in a box, and maybe who he could carry them al ksefai, putting them on his shoulders, or the fun of carrying it in his hands. And the purpose of this all is because we don't want him to transport kalim the way he normally transports them during the week. We want him to do it with a shinui. Okay, in Hamelech Satevin, if somebody's carrying straw on Yontif, and of course straw may be transported on Yontif because you need to be able to make a fire on Yontif, and fire Eichel Nefesh may be made on Yontif. The loch is Loyafshel Achayrev, Loyafshel Sekupel Achayrev. He shouldn't put the bundle of straw on his shoulder and carry it on the back, because that's the way he carries during the week, and it looks like he's doing Uvda D'chol. It looks like he wants to work, like he works during the week. But what he could do is, Avmiya B'yada, he carried in his hand. Again, representing a shinui. The Shita points out, by tevin, by straw, the Mishnah uses the word hamoylech. And by wine and oil, the Mishnah uses the word hamevi. Because he explains, people are careful not to leave straw all over the house. And they take it completely out of the house. That's why the Mishnah uses the word moylech, completely removing to the hands. However, when it comes to wine and oil, you only bring wine or oil what you need to use on Yontif. You're not starting to transport all your wine and oil. And since one isn't transporting all his wine and oil on Yontif, the halacha is that that's why the Mishnah uses the word hamevi. Of course, as I said, everything that we're speaking about here is in a situation where there's no issue of the tchum, or because you're not allowed to carry something outside the tchum on Yontif. Furthermore, the Rishonim point out that Tosfos points out that not only are you not allowed to carry outdoors this way, but even indoors, because it's Yontif, and we're concerned that Yontif should look like Yontif, you're not allowed to carry objects in your home, only what you need to carry. The Beis Yosef seems to be more lenient. The Beis Yosef's opinion is that if you're carrying it within your house, we could be lenient in allowing you to carry it in any way because it's not outdoor. Continues the Mishnah, Umaschilin. One, the Mishnah speaks about if you have you have straw or other objects, can you begin to use them on Yontif, or are they considered muksa? So it says the Mishnah Meschilin Barim Satevin, you could start taking straw out of a pile of straw. Avaloi b'meitzim shem muksa. If you have wood in the back of your house, the wood in the back of your house, you maksadas, you have no intention to use on Yontif, and therefore you may not take that. That wood is muksa. The wood that's in your home, the straw you intend to use, and therefore it's not muksa. Says the Gemara, Tana, we learned in a Braisa, in Mi'ef Shalashanas, the Mishnah, as we just learned, the Mishnah began that we should always try to do transportation on Yontif with a Shinui. But says the Mishnah, says the Gemara, if it's difficult or impossible to do it that way, then the Aloch is Mutter. So the Rishonim point out, the Magen Avraham says, that we're talking about a case that you have many guests, and if you have many guests, it's difficult just to carry a small amount in a different way that you normally carry it, then the halacha is we could be lenient. But there's a very big discussion amongst the Paiskim, what is the definition of guest? Because guests are not to be understood that I invite a guest to eat by me on Yontif. That's very nice, but that's not what's meant when we speak about Orchim. The Paiskim say the definition of Orchim means people who are guests in the city and that they don't have where to eat. and you go over to them and you invite them to eat by you on Yontif, those are the kind of guests that you could, that Chazal were lenient and allow you to carry in a normal fashion. But if you invited guests to eat by you on Yontif and you knew that you're going to have these guests on Yontif, you can't say, well, because I have guests and I'm allowed to be lenient. That's not what's meant when we say we could be lenient for guests. Says the Gemara, asking Rava b'Mechuza, Rava instituted in the city of Mechuzim that people who used to transport barrels and other objects on Yontif, the Doro b'Dachku, people who usually carry something on their shoulders, should carry Ladar b'Raglo. They should take it on a pole and carry it that way. The Doro b'Raglo, and somebody used to carry things on this pole, Lidru b'Agra. If they usually carry it on with a pole with one person, on Yontif, because we want you to carry it with a Shinui, you should carry it with two people. The Doro b'Agra, something which is normally transported by two people, La Doro b'Akfa, you should be carried by one person. The Doro b'Akfa, something that's carried by Akfa, Nifris Sudra Leyu, we should put a piece of material on top of it. And again, all of these things are done, are being said because of Yontif doing things with a Shinui. And the reason the Rishonim point out that why did the Gemara have to give us every type of example how you make a Shinui? Because in every one of these Shinuyim, there may be, in a way, a harder type of transportation than the other way. And therefore, we would maybe think that it's not permitted to do it when you're doing it, it's harder. And the Chiddush is that if your purpose is to make a Shinui, that is the number one consideration we have. Says the Gemara, Vimloy Efshar, but if it's something that you can't carry with that piece of material, Shori, then you could carry it without covering it up. Damamor, im efshar lishanis, if the object that you're carrying is you can't carry with a shinui, the mutter, then you could carry it even without a shinui. And as the Meiri explains, that if you're concerned, for example, the example that we just gave, that if you're going to carry this with having it covered with a piece of material, and you're concerned by having it covered with a piece of material, the piece of material may get ruined, that's enough of a shinui then that you're allowed to, that's enough of a reason that you shouldn't have to cover it with a piece of material. And as Rabbeinu Hananel says, that this halacha that we just learned, that if it's impossible to do a shinui, then you don't have to do a shinui, is not only on the last case where you can't cover it, on any of the cases that we're discussing. If it's impossible to do a shinui, then don't do a shinui. Moreover, the Rishonim say, if you can't, the other cases where we didn't speak about covering with a piece of material, if you can't carry it in a different way that you normally carry it, certainly if you cover it with a piece of material, that's what you ought to do. Amalei Rav Chanan, Rav Ravashi, Amra Bonin, Chazal told us, Kam de'ev shel shnuyim shenina b'yontif. As much as possible to make a shinui, we should do on Yontif. Ask the Gemara, Vahani Nashi, there were these women, the Kamalia Chatzvayu Maya, that would fill up their barrels with water from the river, b'yontif on Yontif, like a machine, and they don't make any shinui. We don't say anything to them. But we're learning that you have to make a shinui. Amalei, so he said, Mishum de Laefshir. The reason they don't make a shinui, because it's impossible to make a shinui. Hey, Chlevet, because exactly what would we recommend should be done? The Mali Bechatzu Rabba, if they usually fill up a big barrel, Tamali Chatzu Zuta, so should we tell them on Yontif to fill up a small barrel? That isn't a great piece of advice, because doing that causes us to have to walk more. And Tosfos asks, so here we learned earlier that it's worth taking more walk to walk more on Yontif to make a shinui. So why over here are we saying that we shouldn't do it? So Tosfos answers that if you're going to at least get a big shinui by going from one type to another type, even though it involves walking more, so getting a big shinui is very worthwhile. However, points out Tosfos, The shinui from a big barrel to a small barrel is not a very significant shinui. And since it's not a very significant shinui, we should take everything into consideration. And the consideration that you shouldn't have to walk a lot in Yontif is a more important consideration when you're not getting such a big shinui anyway. Moreover, when we're talking here, before we were talking about barrels of wine. So barrel of wine, transpiring wine looks like uvda d'chol. This case is not so much of an uvda d'chol, and that's why we're not that as concerned as we were previously. And continues the Gemara, the Maya b'chatzah zuta, if the woman usually uses a small barrel, and now we're telling her to mali chatzah rabba, to use a big barrel, k'mafshim m'mafshim. That makes it too hard for her, too difficult for her to carry. The nachsi b'nachtma, to suggest to her that we should cover it with a wood cover, zimna the nafel, we're concerned that that cover may fall off, vasil suye, and she's going to come to carry. And as we've discussed, one may not carry an object, even on yontiv in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, if it's shloi l'tzarech, if there's no real purpose. Tikterei, if we're going to recommend that we should tie this on, zimna the masik, and tie it on before yontif, zimna the masik, we have to be concerned that it's going to tear vasla miktere. And since it was tied on before, you may come to tie it on again. And you may do the malach of kshira. And the malach of kshira, if it's not done, letzayruch yontif, is asr. Tifser sudrelei, to put a piece of material on top of it, zimna the mishmishes, but sometimes that piece of material is going to get wet, and you may come to squeeze it out, and also de schita, and that of course is also asur on yontif. So therefore, like efshar, all the different types of shinui that we suggested isn't an option. So obviously, the question is, a moment ago when we learned the Gemara said that using a piece of material is a good option. And now the Gemara is saying that a piece of material could come to the melacha of schita. How do we understand this? So Rashi says that before we were talking about something that is not wet, we were transporting a solid. So there's no concern of schita. But here we're talking about transporting a liquid, and there's a concern of schita. Tosfos says that we were talking about a barrel that had a very narrow opening. So since it had a very narrow opening, it's not likely that the piece of material on top is going to get wet. Here, it's a wider type of opening. Another difference is what type of liquid. By certain liquids, there's a shaila of dosh, of kibos, if it's a clean liquid. By a not clean liquid, it might be less of a shaila. Amle rav bachana labai, tanan. We're going to learn a mitzvah shem of the Mishnah on daf lamed vav on the beis. A metapchim. We're not allowed to clap on yontiv. A mesapkin. We're not allowed to clap by putting a hand on our feet. A meraktim. And we're not allowed to dance. All of this was Chazal said we're not allowed to do this on yontiv because it's a chashash shem yasa kli shir. You may, if you're going to do all this type of dancing and clapping, you may come to fix a musical instrument. Says the Gemara, we just, nowadays we see many people do this, and nobody says anything. So Tosfos says that this gezeira, that we're not allowed to sing, and they're not allowed to clap and dance on Shabbos, as Rashi just said, is because of Shemi Sakin Klishir. So says Tosfos that was only in the time of Chazal, where people knew how to repair an instrument that broke. The Vizman Azeh, Tosfos says already in his time, where if an instrument breaks, people don't know how to fix an instrument on Shabbos, that there is no issur of dancing on and clapping on Yontif. So the Beis Yosef asks a question. We've learned in our Masechta that any gzeir that was instituted by a Bezdin, any Bezdin, another Bezdin can't be mevatel, can't undo, can't nullify the gzeira, elm can go b'mena b'chachm minyan, unless the second bezdin is greater. And we always know that the later batei dinim can never be greater than the earlier batei dinim. So how could Tosfos suggest, well, nowadays we don't fix kalim, and therefore there's no problem if the halacha, that we don't ever take away gzeiras. So the Beis Yosef wants to suggest that this was the type of gzeira that when the Gezeira was instituted, it was said that it's only an issue as long as people know how to fix instruments. But if there's going to be a time and a place that people don't know how to fix instruments, then the issue of dancing and clapping would not apply on Yom Tov. And that's Pshat in our Gemara. That's why it's mutter to do it bizman hazeh, because there is no issue of people knowing how to fix it. Amalei. Yet in the time of Chazal, women, people would dance and clap. Why don't we say anything? Amalei. So Abaye says to Rav Avchanan Utameich, Hoda Amar Leleisiv Inish Apumid Alachaya. As we learned in Masechta Erevin, they used to have a mavi. A mavi was an alleyway that had three walls, and it had an opening on the fourth side. And that is really a Rosh Hashayachid, if it has three walls. Chazal, however, said that one is not allowed to carry in the mavi, because we're concerned that you're going to carry from the mavi to the Rosh Hashayachid on the other side of that entrance, unless you make a lechi or a kaira at the entrance of the mavi. And the halacha is, even if you made a lechi or a kaira, the halacha is that one shouldn't sit at that entrance holding something. A person shouldn't sit by the entrance of the lechi. We have to be concerned that he's going to be holding something and it's going to fall out into the shus rabbim, and he's going to come to carry it, and he's going to bring it back in from the shus rabbim into the mavi. And yet, says the Gemara, Vahani Shakli Chatzvayu, the women that hold barrels of barrels, Vasun Yasma Pumadimvo, and they sit by the entrance of the Mavi, Vlamin of Lamidi, nobody says anything. But why not? We have a Chazak, we have an Isser to do so. So our Gemara has spoken now about the Isser of dancing on Yontif. So the halacha is, the Mishnah Berurah says, that we should still lechatchila not dance or clap on Yom Tov. However, the halacha is that we're not allowed to dance or clap on Yom Tov only in a case where it's to make music. That's why the Paiskim discuss that many times the Sefer Torah have silver crowns on top of it and they have bells on that. And the question is, could you take out a Sefer Torah with a bell on Shabbos Yontif? And the Mishnah Berurah says that one can, because it's b'makom mitzvah, it's not meant to really make music. Moreover, the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Shin Lamates Sif Katan Ches says that on Simchas Torah, everybody agrees that you're allowed to dance and clap, because again, the Paiskim are lenient when it comes to Tzorech mitzvah. But the question here is, here we see that there were different gezeiros that Chazal made, and yet people aren't following them. Why? Ella, says the Gemara, and a rule. Hanachlam Yisrael, mutiv she'eshogim v'ayim yizidin. It's preferable that people should do an aveira, and we shouldn't say anything, that there should be a shogig, versus that we should tell them they're doing something wrong, and then they won't listen. Hachnami, and that's why in all these rules that we've been speaking about, the Gemara applies the concept of Hanachlam Yisrael Mutiv She'eshogim V'ayim Mezidim. And the way the Rishonim explained this Gemara, the Gemara says in Masechet Yevamim Daf Samachayim Beis, Shem Shemitzvah Al Adam Loi Medava Anishma, Kach Mitzvah Al Adam Shloi Loi Medava She'en Anishma. Just as much as there's a mitzvah to say something that people are going to listen to you, so is there a mitzvah not to say something that they're not going to listen. But there are many rules around that. The first rule is, the only time you shouldn't say something is when you're certain they're not going to listen to you. But if you're not sure that they're not going to listen, then of course we should say something. The Rosh uses very powerful words. Shehilu anachnu b'nei adam amash shogim b'kol yoyim. If we're just going to say people are doing something b'shogig and we're going to leave them that way, hayim asifin shkagas. They're just going to keep on doing a various b'shagig, but tipla Torah mat ma'at, and Torah will fall away slowly but surely. Moreover, the Tashbat says that this is only said by an individual. But if we see large groups of people are doing the wrong thing, it's our obligation to tell them that to try to get the tzibur, to get the public to do the right thing. Moreover, it's only if this is something that is ingrained, that their fathers and their grandfathers did it this way. But if they did something, they just started making this mistake, we should tell them that what you're doing is wrong. Moreover, this is only, says the Magen Avraham, as the Gemara clearly indicates, when it's a shaygig. So when they're doing this b'shaygig, we have the concept of mutashay shaygigin v'alye mezidim. However, if it's a situation where they're doing a b'mezid, the Torah says, hachiach tachiach asamisecha. We have an obligation to tell somebody that what they're doing is wrong. And moreover, we see that this concept of hachiach tachiach asamisecha doesn't only apply by Yisuri Deraisa. It even applies by Yisuri Derabanan. That here we're talking about the different Yisuri Derabanan, and the only reason we're not obligated to say something is Mutashay Shagigin Val Yehim Mezidin. But if it's Derabanan, and we know they're going to listen, we have to say something even by Derabanan. V'animil B'Yisuri Derabanan. It says the Gemara, Abba Deraisa, Loi. By the Raisa, we always have to say, if we see something, we have to say something. And the reason, the Pasha Pshat and the reason is, because we can assume that nobody is going to deliberately violate an Issa Deraisa. And therefore, if we make them aware that what they are doing involves violating an Issa Deraisa, we can be confident they're going to stop doing so. Says the Gemara, V'loihi. Loishna b'deraisa, it doesn't make a difference if it's an Issa Deraisa or Issa Derabanan. If we know they're not going to listen, we shouldn't say anything. However, the Rishonim point out, and this way the Mishnah Berurah paskins, that's only on something that is not written explicitly in the Torah. And the only way we know it's an Issa Deraisa is through a drasha. So since it's only known through a drasha, people don't take it as seriously. You can't point to an explicit pasuk and they could say that this is, that you're violating this pasuk. So that's what we say, mutashay shagin v'alye mezidin. But if what they're violating is an isser, an explicit isser, doraisa, then we have to say something even under all circumstances. What's the proof that if it's not explicit, and we know they're not going to listen, we don't have to say anything? Says the Gemara, the Taisus Yom Kippurim. The halacha is that we have to keep extra Yom Kippur. We have to keep Yom Kippur before Yom Kippur. And that's a din daraisa. Because the Gemara Masech the Yuma, that Pei Aleph on the base teaches us, the Pasuk says, V'nisem as nafshesechem betishal chodesh be'erev. So it seems that the fast is on the ninth day. On the other hand, it says that the fast only begins at night, by the tenth day. From here we see that you have to start the fast already by the ninth day. And yet we see there are women that eat right till dark, and we don't say anything to them. Why? Because even though it's a deraisa, but it's not a deraisa that's explicit in the Torah. So that's why Mutav Shei Shagigin and from here we see that the concept of the Taisus Yom Kippurim represents a significant amount of time. Because certainly no one is eating or no one is doing melacha right until dark. Because everybody's going to be concerned that if they're going to do right till dark, they may chas v'shalom be mechal Yom Kippur. So here we see that the time of Taisus Yom Kippurim equals, the Mishnah Berurah says, about a half an hour. And they don't keep that whole half an hour, and that's why the Gemara says Mutashay Shagin Valye Mezidin. We learned in the Mishnah Umaschilin Barima Samida. We allow to one more point that Ritva makes. Ritva says that if we see that it's a time where people have become very lax in halacha, and we can't just let something like that continue, that people become lax in halacha, then the rule of Mutashay Shagigin V'Hayei Mezidim doesn't apply, and we're supposed to do whatever we can to get them, to get people back on right track. So we went to the Mishnah Maschilin Barimah Sateven, that you could start taking a straw from the pile of straw. Amar Abkan, Zoysimeres, Metrilim, Be'otza Trila. We could start, even though we have something stored away, we could start depleting it on Yontif. Mani, says the Gemara, whose opinion does this represent? Says the Gemara, represents the opinion of Shimon de Lestei Muksa. And as we've explained many times, when the Mishnah says, when the Gemara says Rav Shimon Lestei Muksa, it doesn't mean that he doesn't subscribe at all to the concept of Muksa. Of course, he subscribes to the concept of Muksa. Rather, what's meant is he doesn't have a strict interpretation of Muksa. And Rav Shimon is going to take this approach that taking something from here, since it's something that people know they may use, it's not Muksa and it can be taken from a Yontif. But ask the Gemara, Eim Sefer, Avaloi Be'etzim Shemuksa. You're not allowed to take wood. Asin, why does that, whose opinion does that represent? It represents Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. This Le Muksa, that has a stricter interpretation. So how do we reconcile the two phrases of the Mishnah and the two phrases in the Mishnah that are right next to each other? Answers the Gemara, Hakha. The Mishnah, when it's speaking about wood, is talking about Arzi Vasuchi Eskinen, expensive wood. The Muksamach Sankis. People use it only for the purpose of building expensive furniture or expensive items, and they don't use that wood indiscriminately. And even Rav Shimon, as we just said, that doesn't have the strict interpretation of Muksa, will agree that this is considered Muksa. He agrees that Muksamach Sankis is Muksa. And the way to define the Paiskim say Muksamachim Sankis, the way the Paiskim define Muksamach Sankis is something that is expensive and is designated to remain in one spot. The Muksamach Sankis, that a feeler of Shimon Maida, even Rav Shimon agrees that it's considered Muksa. But it says the Gemara, Ikedemasinlai, some take Rav Kahana's point regarding the seif in the Mishnah. The end of the Mishnah said, Avaloi Be'etzim Shimon Muksa, you're not allowed to take wood from the place that they were put away. On that, Amar Rav Kahana, Zois Ameris, Eimas Chilin Be'etzim Tchila, that you're not allowed to start, take wood from the place where it's put away. Mani, whose opinion is that? Follow Rav Yehuda, Dislei Muksa, has a stricter interpretation of Muksa. But ask the Gemara Emeresha, let's look at the phrase before it that said, Maschilin Be'arimus Atevin, and whose opinion does that represent? Also Rav Shimon, the Lesley Muksa, that doesn't hold the Muksa, and that's why he lets you take the straw. Answers the Gemara, Hasam, the first case is talking about Tavna Saria, it's talking about straw that's getting spoiled. So even Rabbi Yehuda holds that nobody is maksadas from that kind of straw because it's not important. Ask the Gemara, why would Rabbi Yehuda say that that's not muksa? Tavna Saria, hachazel latina, it can be used to make cement. So it's still useful. So if it's still useful, why would he say that it's not muksa? Says the Gemara, the Isbe Kaitzi. Not only is it not good quality straw, but it actually has pieces of thorn in it. And because it has thorns in it, it's certainly not going to be used for building, and therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that it's not muksa. Says the Mishnah, Ein noitlim eitzim in a sukkah. One may not take off eitzim from a sukkah, and this is not just on sukkahs. This is on every yontif, because taking wood off the sukkah involves stearis oil. Elam in a samachla. Only from wood that's near the sukkah, that wood may be taken. But the Pnei Yeshua asks a question. When we speak about the malacha of Soyser, when we speak about the malacha of demolishing Shabbos Yontif, the only time the malacha of Soyser is considered a malacha is when it's Soyser Amnas Livnois. And they ask that this is not Soyser Amnas Livnois. And therefore the question is, why would this be, why would that be a malacha? Even if you're taking away, it's not going to be Soyser Amnas Livnois. So the Pnei Yeshua says, indeed, the concern here is not a concern of a malacha deraisa. The concern here is a malacha derabanan. But the Mishnah is teaching us that even for the concern of a malacha derabanan, we have to be machmer not to take something off the sukkah on yontif. The Chasam Sofer does try to answer this question. He says that Rashi says that we're talking about a sukkah that's made, people used to sit out in these hut. And The question is, why would somebody take wood off that hut? He wants that hut to remain. So he explains that sometimes, says the Chasam Sofer, people take wood off such a hut so they should be able to get more air into the hut. So that's called Soysa Manas Livnos. Ask the Gemara, Ma'ishna Manas Sukkah Deloi. So why are we learning that you're not allowed to take wood from the Sukkah? Because Kasasa Ola, as we just explained, you're over the Malach of Soysa. So if that's the case, Manas Samach Lo, so why would the wood that's on tap it's not be a problem. Nami kasasa holo. The Gemara is learning now that the Mishnah is differentiating between an upper layer and a lower layer. But it should make a difference for the Malach of Soyser. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Yudah Mishmul, my samach, samach tafanis. It doesn't mean that it's on the roof. You have pieces of wood next to the wall, and therefore, since they're not there to make the wall any thicker, taking that wood is not the melacha of Soyser. We're not talking about wood that's next to the wall. We're talking wood that's on top of the wall. When our Mishnah says that you're allowed to, when our Mishnah is speaking about that you're allowed to take some defanis, is besuraisa. When you have piles of wood that you put on top of the schach, so obviously they're not there to be part of the roof. Since they're not there to be part of the roof, that's why when you take those piles, you're not doing the melach of Soyser. Says the Gemara, Tanya Reb Chiya Bar Yosef, Kamei de Reb Yochanan, Ein Oitlam Eitzim Na Sukkah, one may not take wood on a from a sukkah, Elam Na Samach La, only from what's nearby. Reb Shimon Matir, Reb Shimon says, one could take off even from the roof. The Shoven, but everybody agrees, b'sukkas achag b'chag, that the sukkah on sukkas, asura, that even chol moed, you're not allowed to take anything off from the sukkah. Because it becomes muksa, it becomes huksa l'mitzvasoi, and something that's huksa l'mitzvasoi, the halach is you're not allowed to touch under any circumstances. So, ask Rabbi Chanan and the Sefer Oinig Yontif, both ask the same question. They ask, if a sukkah is hooked to a mitzvasoi, why when it's raining are you allowed to sit in the sukkah? You're not being mekayim a mitzvah. Hooked to a mitzvasoi means that it's designated that it can only be used for a mitzvah. So when it's raining, if you're sitting in the sukkah, you're not fulfilling a mitzvah. If you're not fulfilling a mitzvah at that point, you should have no right to have hanor from something which is hooked to a mitzvasoi. So Rabbi Chanan, and I saw that the Ragachava both say the same pshat. They say that when it's raining, the sukkah doesn't have in it the kedusha sukkah. And since it doesn't have in it the kedusha sukkah, you're not having anor from a sukkah because it's not a sukkah while it's raining. The stipler says that even though there's a halacha that something which is hooked to mitzvasai, you can't just use, but a sukkah was meant to be eaten in and slept in. So since the sukkah is meant to be eaten and slept in, so then the sukkah, says the stipler, was never huksa for those uses. And therefore, even if you're using it in a non-mitzvah setting, because it's raining, but sleeping, eating in a sukkah is something that's always permissible. Another pshat that I saw is that if you're not taking away from the kedusha sukkah, your sukkah doesn't get affected adversely by you sitting in the sukkah when it's raining. So that isn't considered that you're taking away from the kedusha of the sukkah. Huksa mitzvasai and using it is only when you're going to be degrading it, taking away from the kedusha. But sitting in the sukkah when it's raining doesn't involve doing something like that, and therefore it's mutter. Vim hisnola. But if somebody made a tanai that he's allowed to use it, hakel fi tanai, then whatever tanai that you made is acceptable. Rav Shimon matter. So we learned in the Braisa, Rav Shimon says that you can't take off from the schach on yontif, even on Pesach and Shavuos. But ask the Gemara, why would he allow us to do so? Because sasa alay, when we take off from the schach, we're doing the malach of stira. Answers the Gemara, Amar Nachman, Yitzchak Hachem B'sukkah Nefel Tzaskinen. The Braisa is speaking about a sukkah that fell a yontif. And therefore, by taking that wood, there is no problem of Soyser. It already fell down. The Tanakama, now, say the Rishonim, not going to hold that the reason you're not allowed to take it off is because of Saiser, because you can't have Saiser on something that collapsed. The issue here is going to be Muksa. And because the issue here is Muksa, they became Muksa at the beginning of Yontif, and that's why it remains Muksa for the entire duration of Yontif, according to Tanakama. Rav Shimon, on the other hand, Latameh, Rav Shimon follows his opinion, the less they Muksa, that he has, as we said earlier, not such a strict interpretation of Muksa. The Tanya, as we see elsewhere, Moser Hashem and Shabaner, the leftover oil in your candle, the Shabakara, Osir, are Muksa, because since they were lit by Neshmashes, they remain Muksa for the entire duration of Shabbos, Yontif. Rav Shimon Matir, Rav Shimon says, after it goes out, it's not Muksa. Ask the Gemara, but how can we compare the two situations? Midami, Hasam, when you light a candle with oil, you know it's going to get extinguished. Kadam Mitzap, Rosh Mitzap, Masatech by Neroi. And that's why we could be more lenient. Hacha, but by Sukkah, Adam Yosh Mitzapa Emsa Tapal Sukkosoi, is somebody waiting for Sukkah to collapse that it should not be Muksa anymore? Answers the Gemara. We're speaking about a sukkah that's a weak sukkah, and since it's a weak sukkah, he knew the Me'es Maldata Levei, that yesterday he was already assuming that this sukkah is going to collapse on Yontif. And since yesterday he was assuming that it's going to collapse on Yontif, that's why it didn't become Muksa. But indeed, Rav Shimon would agree that if the sukkah was a sturdy sukkah, the halacha would be that the sukkah becomes muksa, and even if it collapsed on Yontif, you couldn't take the wood. We learned further in the Braisa, v'sham b'sukkos achag b'chag, that on chol moed sukkos, on the sukkah, on plant of sukkos, she assured that the sukkah is muksa. V'im hisnola, but if you made it tonight, says the Gemara hakol, if you tonight, then your tonight could be effective. Ask the Gemara, v'chi mi mahani bo tonight, can you make such a Tanai, Vomrav Shesh Mishim Rabbi Kiva, Menai Latzi Sukkah Shesu and Kol Shiva. How do we know that the word of the Sukkah is also all 7 days of Sukkahs? It's also Banor, because the Pasuk says, Shnei Mechaga Sukkahs Shivas Yomim LaShem. The Tanya and the Brisa teaches us, Rabbi Yudah Ben Seir Oimer, Menayin, how do we know Shem Shechal Shem Shemayim Al Chagiga? Just like the Torah says that the Karban Chagiga is Kachim, Kachal Shem Shemayim Al Atzi Sukkah, that the Sukkah is Kodesh. Tamalaymer, Chaga Sukkah Shivas Shem LaShem. The Pasuk uses the word Chag. We learn Ma Chag LaShem, just like a carbon, Kachim is LaShem, and it's also Banah. Av Sukkah is considered like Hashem, and it's also Banah. Machlokes Rishonim, that when we say that the Sukkah has in a Kedusha, does it apply to the walls of the Sukkah or just to the Schach? The Rambam's opinion is that it applies to the walls as well, but the Beis Yosef says that even though the Rambam says that it applies to the walls, it's only midrabbanan, but the Bach holds that according to the Rambam, the walls of the Sukkah have the din of Kodesh LaShem midoy Raisa. The Rosh disagrees, and the Rosh says that when we speak that the Sukkah has Kedusha, it's referring only to the Schach, but not to the walls, because as we learned when we learned Masechta Sukkah, the primary part of the Sukkah are the Schach, not the walls. Another question that the Paiskim debate is, what makes the Kedusha on the Sukkah? The Magen Avraham says that sitting in the Sukkah is what gives the Sukkah the Kedusha Sukkah, but there are others that say just as soon as you construct the Sukkah, the Shem Sukkah, it gets the Kedusha. So how could one make a Tanai? You can't make a Tanai on Kachim, so how can you make a Tanai that you should have Hanor from the Sukkah? Answers the Gemara, Amram Nasha Berei Derava, Sefer Osel Sukkah D'Alma. The Sefer is not talking about the Sukkah on Sukkahs. Sukkahs on Sukkahs, of a Sukkah, the Mitzvah, when you're talking about a Sukkah on Sukkahs, Loi Mahani Ber Tanai, no Tanai would be helpful, could be used. A Sukkah on Sukkahs has it in a Kedusha, and it has a Kedusha that you're not allowed to have any anor from it. Of course, there are discussion amongst the Paiskim, what does that mean? That how much anor may you not have from the Sukkah? Some say that you may not even lean against the wall of a Sukkah. That's all concluded in the Kedusha of a Sukkah. Furthermore, the Kedusha of the Sukkah is not limited, says the Gemara, to the Sukkah. We're going to now talk about the Noi Sukkah. The Sukkah, the Mitzvah Loi, ask the Gemara, you can't make a Tanai on a Sukkah, but Tanya, Sichaka Chosai, if somebody made the Sukkah properly, Vitra Bekromim, and he put up nice curtains of Besadinim and Mitzuyorim, Vitalba, and he hangs in the Sukkah, Goizim, walnuts, shkedim, almonds, afraskim, peaches, remoinim, pomegranates, barchile, avonim, clusters of grapes, yenos, wine, shmanim, oil, saltus, flour, vatras, spolim, ears of grain. Oslo, stavkimem, am matzu yantav achon shalchag. You can't use it until matzu shmini atzeres. V'esnaleim, hakol, ulfi tanoi. So we see that you can make a tanai. Answers the Gemara, abai v'ramar amatavayu, the ba'oyme ene ba'odabayim kol ba'ene shmashas. When the tanai that is effective is when you say, I don't want the Kedusha to be chal on them for the entire duration of Bein HaShemoshes. As we've discussed in many shiurim, the halacha is that something, the defining moment for Muksa is at the time of Bein HaShemoshes. So Bein HaShemoshes, he says, I don't want the Kedusha Sukkah to become on them. The Avol Atzei Sukkah, the Atzei Sukkah, which become part of the Sukkah, automatically, chol kedusha layu, askatzoy l'shiva, to become muksa. And the truth is, the Gemara uses the word shiva, but in Eretz Yisrael, the sukkah is muksa even on Shmini Atzeres, and in Chutz Laretz, the sukkah is muksa on Simchas Torah as well. And here we're learning about the concept of noy sukkah, and we're learning that noy sukkah become muksa as well. The noy sukkah also become Muksa. So interesting points to make. Number one, Davni Nezer says, we don't find by other mitzvahs this concept of Noi Sukkah. But we do find by the Sukkah that we use on Sukkahs, the concept of Noi Sukkah. And he tries to understand, why is this more of an issue by Sukkah that we find the concept of Noi Sukkah versus all other mitzvahs. So he says that the halacha of making a hidden mitzvah, the halacha of making a noy mitzvah, we learn from the pasuk that we say in the Shira, Zeh keli danveyu, and the Gemara says, Hisnol lefana b'mitzvahs. We're supposed to beautify the mitzvah. But he says, if you look at the Targum on the pasuk of Zeh keli danveyu, the Targum says, Ivnela migdasha, we'll build a base of migdash. So he says, from here we see there's more of a reason to make a sukkah, a mesa migdash, to have this beautification more than any other place in the world. The sukkah, he says, is a place of the Shechina. You know, the sukkah is the tzil of the Menusa. So just like the pasuk Zeh Keli Vanveyu was teaching us that we should make a beautiful beis migdash, the sukkah is like a beis migdash. And therefore, we just like we beautify the beis migdash, we beautify the sukkah as well. But Rav Moshe, in the Tshuva, in the Shalos Tshuvos, Igros Moshe, Chel Kei Simen and Vav, discussing Noi Sukkah, says what constitutes, what is Noi Sukkah, and what is not Noi Sukkah. So Rav Moshe says, what we have to use as a model of what is considered Noi Sukkah is what would we hang up in our living room, in our dining room. Only something that we would feel comfortable and hanging up in our living room and dining room is in the category of Noi Sukkah. But if it's not something that we would feel comfortable hanging up in our home, doesn't make it into Noi Sukkah. He does, however, make one caveat. And that is, there's certain things that we would maybe hang up in our dining room and living room, but our dining room and living room, we live in all year round. So since we live there all year round, there are certain things that won't last hanging all year round. But if they would, we would hang it up. That, he says, is Noi Sukkah. But something which you would never feel comfortable hanging up in your dining room, living room, should not be considered Noi Sukkah. Here we're learning that Noi Sukkah are muksa and should not be taken down, certainly, and should not on Yontif. However, the Tzitz Eliezer discusses a shaila where there are sometimes children make different projects that they bring to the Sukkah. And during Yontif Sukkah, they were at one set of grandparents for the first part of Yontif, and then they're at another set of grandparents for the next part of Yontif. And they want to be able to take along their Noi Sukkah. but they hung up the nice sukkah in the first sukkah they were in. May they move the nice sukkah. So he says, since the nice sukkah is being taken down from the first sukkah with the express intent to bring them to the next sukkah, that may be done on sukkahs. Ask the Gemara, Umay Shna, why is this different from Mihad Itma? Hifra Shiva Asragim Shiva Shamim. If somebody designated seven Asragim for the 7 days of Sukkot, Amarav, Kalachas for Achas, Yotzba for Achla, Ba La Alta. You could eat it right after you fulfill the mitzvah. Rav Ashti Amar, you can't use it today, but Kalachas for Achas, Yotzba for Achla Mocher. You could use it tomorrow. But why? Why don't we say that it's Hukzula Mitzvah Sai? Answers the Gemara, you can't compare the Esrig to the Sukkah. Hosom, the Maskalelis Miyamim. By the Esrig, every day is separate from the day before. So you could have seven Esrigim for the 7 days of Sukkot. Chol Chad V'yoyma, Mitzvah Pei Nafshihu. Hocha, but when we speak about the Mitzvah of Sukkah, the Mitzvah of Sukkah is a Mitzvah for the entire duration of Sukkah. The Loi Maskalelis Miyamim, where the days don't get separated. And that's why Kula Yoyma, all the days of Sukkot, Chad V'yoyma, Richtadami, considered like one long day, and once it becomes Huktzal Mitzvasai at the beginning of Yontif, it remains Huktzal Mitzvasai for the entire duration of Yontif, and you can't take that and you can't use it, the Huktzal Mitzvasai. I did see that the Pesukim suggest that many people that have Sukkot, that not the entire area, not every part of the sukkah is a kosher sukkah, a place where you could sit and eat them in kind of mitzvah sukkah. And if you hang decorations in the spots of your sukkah that are not a kosher sukkah, so they don't have the category, the shame of noy sukkah, and the rule that you can't, that the huktzal mitzvah soy will not apply to that part of the sukkah.